Welcome to the episode 12 of the Weird Science New 52 Review Podcast. I'm here with my man Eric Shea. How you doing?
I'm right here. Yeah.
Ooh, you're here. I feel like shit. I am so sick right now. I don't know if it's just I'm sick, allergies, or a certain bunch of kids peeing in bleach. I don't know.
The toxic gas you've been breathing the past 2 days.
I think it's all of it. I think that the problem I'm having at the moment is it is obviously summer when we're recording this. If somebody ends up listening to this years from now in the middle of winter, but it is summer, and we ended up putting an air conditioner in the one room, and I slept in that room a couple days ago, and I have that air conditioner fever or whatever they call it. I used to get it because when we would go on vacation and things like that and stay in a hotel, that's when
fancy.
Jimmy Werner, oh man, we freaking jack that thermostat down to 20. And then the next day I'd wake up and feel like shit. And I do feel like that. My voice is a little low. You hear that, Aaron? You hear how sexy that
is. It's hard for me to concentrate.
Yes, this is episode 12 of the podcast. And we are going to be doing Wonder Woman Volume 1, Blood.
Blood,
Eric, blood. And it is the first six issues of the new 52 run of Wonder Woman. And obviously that was written by Brian Azzarello and art by Cliff Chang and also Tony Atkins and or Akins. I actually was shocked because I actually remembered Cliff Chang doing all of the art in at least this first arc. He did not. He did not. And then later, like Goran Suzuka, I think his name came on, and I actually really liked his art as well. But yeah, issues 5 and 6 of this early run in this trade are actually by Tony Atkins. And it's okay. We're not really going to mention it like full out when it changes. It changes, but it maintains the look.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good. Though Cliff Chang's art is great.
I didn't even notice going through because in my mind, Cliff Chang was like, you know, I had a basic understanding of this art. We got Azzarello, Cliff Chang. I'm like, going from there. Because honestly, I don't think I even jumped into a part of this story until the 20s or something like that, around the freaking Forever Evil and Villains Month and shit like that. So all of this early stuff, besides for you telling me stuff like fucking Bondage Minotaur.
Oh, yeah, because I went back and
knew nothing about it.
And I was so upset. I thought maybe Bondage Minotaur made an appearance in this first volume. He does not. And this was one of the books that me and you were going through and reading reviews when the New 52 came out, really like the year later, when they got to the zero issues and stuff like that. We were reading reviews and we could not find a lot of Wonder Woman reviews, which was actually kind of the impetus for us to start the site. We actually started the site, said, you know what, it's bullshit. Wonder Woman's part of the Trinity. I remember
how
at that point.
How can you not do every one of the Trinity?
How can you not do every one of the Trinity? Then
and
we started the site.
But Jim, you got to understand, right now I think Green Lantern's more.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. That, yeah, we had discussions about possibly Hal Jordan being part of the new Trinity. And then we started the site and didn't review Wonder Woman for a while. That was the reason why we started the site, and it took a while to get there because at the point when we started, I hadn't yet read Wonder Woman. So I had to go back and read, you know, 20-some issues.
Yeah.
And I did, and I loved it. I have a terrible memory. So thinking back, I was like, I don't really, you know, remember a lot. Then I started reading it, and it all came back. The problem being, though, is if you would talk to somebody about Brian Azzarello's run, which, again, I loved it. I was amazed later on to find out that it wasn't well beloved by everyone. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought this was universally, loved, and it was not. So going back, though, because the whole 35 issue run that he did is such a long form story, it was hard for me to go back. Not hard to go back, but when I went back, I was like, huh, I thought a lot more happened. It's hard to actually pinpoint when things happened during the series because there's no real quote-unquote arcs, including this trade that pretty much ends on a cliffhanger and also just ends like you were just kind of getting into the story.
I'm telling you, by the time we get to this point, like, you don't know a lot about what's going on.
No. No, and it's cool. This is why I like going back and reading trades, especially ones that I've read the issues like this, is you kind of do see the hints and the little clues that he was seeding throughout to be what was going on.
The thing is, I jumped into this, and the only thing I could really remember besides for Bondage Minotaur was that the Firstborn was a big part of this initial Azrael story arc. Yeah. He even had his own Villains Month issue. And so when
Which
I jump
awesome.
In,
I loved it.
I don't know the way these gods look off the top of my head, like very well. I know Hades and shit like that. Yeah. Poseidon I knew right away, and like, you know, Hera and shit like that. But when you jump in and see Apollo right away, I'm like, is that the Firstborn?
Well, and then, the funny thing is there's such a funny little clue that they do, but then you know, and even then when they're talking, Brian Azzarello, the big thing in this whole run was mythology, and I think he plays around with some things that people assume that they think they know about mythology. Like, I'm telling you, I think that most people, just every layman, would think that, say, Apollo is Zeus's, you know, is Zeus's son, but Hera was his mom, which is, that's mm-hmm. not the case. Same with Hermes. Like, most of them aren't, and that's what he goes with. He goes with Hera being this jealous god, which is pretty accurate. He does little things that he changes and things like that. And then one thing that I, when we get to it, I'll tell you my theory, and I think you'll laugh at the whole deal. But the first issue of this came out September 21st, 2011. Obviously, I told you already, the trade is six issues, and the trade actually came out May 30th, 2012. And what DC had to say about the trade was, the first six issues of the critically acclaimed new Wonder Woman series are collected in hardcover. Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons, has kept a secret from her daughter all her life, and when Wonder Woman learns who her father is, her life will shatter like brittle clay. The only one more shocked than Diana by this revelation, bloodthirsty Hera. So why is her sinister daughter Strife so eager for the truth to be told? Superstar writer Brian Azzarello creates a new direction for one of DC's best-known heroes with spectacular art by Cliff Chang and Tony Akins. And I went back, and when we do this, I always go back and look at reviews, and I actually was kind of shocked as well that this first issue, when it came out, not greatly received. No. It actually, I think the aggregate score for like 15 reviews was around a 7.6, and people were confused. I think people were confused. People didn't know. Like you said, it takes you a bit to get into this, and I think that this, if anything, if you're reading Rebirth and actually happen to be reading Deathstroke, very similar to me, that is a long-form deal, but it's also stuff that the groundwork's laid and it's all built on it as you go and go and go. But Comics Bulletin actually gave it a 4 out of 10, Eric, the first issue, and said, besides the lack of pants, this new Wonder Woman lacks catching substance. At least Catwoman had sexual controversy. And then Crave Online gave it a 6 out of 10 and said, this is a rocky start for Wonder Woman, one that fans might not appreciate. And then as it went on, you see the scores kind of gathering. And actually, it's one of those weird books that as the series went on, more and more people started reviewing it. And again, this is what we were saying. There weren't a lot. Having 14 or 15 reviews of a number one issue of Wonder Woman is insane to me.
And not only that, but at the beginning of freaking the New 52, which rebooted everything, it's a lot like Rebirth, where it got a lot of people back
Everybody
on the trolley,
on,
like
yeah.
got people interested, like, oh shit, let's check this out because it's a new big deal over at DC. That's not a lot of reviews.
No, and going back and thinking about Rebirth and things like that, I actually see when we do these, going back to look at scores, I do see the lack of reviews. Like, a lot of people like yourself jumped out, like, fuck you, I'm done. And probably went over to, hey, I'm going to do independent stuff or review Marvel. It's just weird because there's always those sites out there that you think they're just like we do. You're just going to review everything just to review it because it's out. But no. And also when these things are reviewed, the first issues of the whole New 52, it amazes me the anger that people had in their reviews. They were so pissed and wanting, you know, actually coming into it seeming pissed off already. And then, you know, stuff like this, this is a bad start. Fans might not appreciate stuff like that. But as it went on, more and more people were reviewing it and getting good reviews from it. And one is Chuck's Comic Book Review. And we talk about Chuck a bit.
Chuck.
This really is the best version of Wonder Woman we've seen in quite a while. And this was issue 6 that'll end the trade. And he gave it a 9 out of 10. But we'll start off, and the whole thing starts off.
Before we get in that, I just want to say one thing because, you know, reading this trade, I think I read it last weekend for the first time, but like, I didn't know a lot going in because I just knew what you had told me over the years and shit like that, because I never really got into the early stages of this Wonder Woman arc and everything like that. But it's very similar to what was going on with freaking Greg Rucka's Rebirth.
You're going to deal a lot. And it's so weird that it seemed that Greg Rucka was against this. Now, I know that the tone of it is, I don't know, a lot of people claimed it was like misogynistic and over the top saying stuff, but I didn't see that. I know Azzarello's big thing. I think that the biggest thing that he went wrong for people was actually just the Amazons, because as you go, they're warlike. They really are. And that's, he's going with what he goes with, like the standard mythology and what he thinks would be a real version of them in the DCU. So even at the point when Hermes is brought to Themyscira, one point, I mean, there's a lot of allusion to cutting off his cock and things like that, and I think people really, that was what they took from, like, oh man, the Amazons, they're supposed to be about love and peace. No, he's going with the classic Amazons as a warlike people. And Wonder Woman herself, I find her as loving in this, but she also has a harder edge to her. But also, she finds out the truth about her life. Now, you haven't seen the movie either yet.
No, I haven't.
And it's very, very similar to the movie, where, spoiler alert, in the movie, they tell her she was made of clay and all this stuff. And in fact, she's the weapon that was given to them to fight Ares. So it's very, very similar. But yeah, it starts off and you have Apollo. And like you said, you kind of got confused because when the firstborn comes around, he kind of has somewhat of a similar look.
That's the only thing I really remember from this whole thing, is the firstborn was a big deal later on in the story arc. So when I see this, like, I don't know Apollo off the top of my head, because everybody has a stylized look and that's for the gods and shit. So when I see this guy and he's doing, I'm like, talking about Zeus being his father. All right, I just came in with preconceived notions. Like, all right, firstborn.
The thing about it is, as he's going, he's talking to these three ladies, and it's very, I think it's very clever dialogue of what's going on, because he's there, these ladies. Now, he doesn't look like any sort of human. I mean, he looks like, you know, what would be a god. But he dressed fancier. But when they're there, these girls are like, hey, how'd you get this room? And, oh, well, look, like we're on the top of the world. And, oh, my God. And then he's like, they ask, what do you do? And he says, I guess you could say I'm the son of a king, and the son is S-U-N. That's the big tell right there, that who he is.
Well,
so
I'm
that's
idiot,
pretty
Jim.
Cool. Well, that's pretty cool. But as you go, he's very impressed with these women, but it's obvious he brought them up to basically turn them into the fates, the three fates, because then he grabs them, they kind of lift above, and he's like, oh, you girls. And also, he keeps saying, oh, you're very observant. I like the way you think and whatever. But yeah, this is Apollo, the god Apollo, talking about his father, and really he wants to know his father is dead. They think Zeus is dead, and he wants to know where the hell he is, and that's where that all leads to with Apollo and these oracles, or the fates, I mean. And in the meantime, you go off to Virginia, and I'm telling you, Brian Azzarello does not hold anybody's hands in this, because you go off and you find out later that this is Hera, shows up in Virginia and gets a sickle and just cuts the heads off of two horses.
And it's pretty violent. The whole thing with, like, you know, not knowing who this is right away, and I'm telling you, it's been a long time since I studied mythology. I was huge into it when I was in, like, junior high and shit like that, but, you know, that was many, many moons ago.
But when
I see this freaking character appear in this barn in Virginia, this freaking horse stable, and she has a freaking robe of peacock feathers, and I just go back to, like, you know what? Hera was always seen as eyes with peacock feathers around it in Xena Warrior, Princess, and Hercules. So I'm going to go with that.
Well, that's the deal. Yeah, with it. And even when she's back on Olympus, she even has a peacock with her and things like that. So it's pretty cool. And I know also that a lot of people had problems with these, with Cliff Chang's representations of the gods and things. When you see Hermes later, he has like chicken legs, which kind of goes hand in hand with the feathers on his ankle. I think that's a pretty cool thing. But in the meantime, too, I didn't even mention Apollo kind of tells these girls, my mom, my dad, he fucks around a lot on his wife, not my mother, because Leto is his mother, also the mother of, I believe, Artemis.
Jared Leto?
No, not Jared Leto or Leto, but it's the same spelling. But yeah, him and Artemis are both the same mother. Right. But it goes in. That's pretty much one of the themes through the whole thing is, well, it is, it's family, and it's a fucked up family. I mean, if you narrow it down, this book, another complaint about it is it's less about Wonder Woman and more about this Olympian family of hers that are just completely fucked up. And again,
a lot like Deathstroke, a fucked up family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very, very similar. You see these horse heads, it's disgusting. And there's very big panels. It's very quick moving. The story is very, very visual as well. But as you see these horses without heads, all of a sudden people grow out of them. They end up being centaurs, is what Hera's doing.
It's so fucked up. I'm telling you, Hera cuts these goddamn horse heads off, and then we just see these, you know, hands rip out of the fucking holes of the goddamn horse's neck and shit like that, and it forms these goddamn centaurs. Like, you know what? Is that how centaurs are made? Because I don't like it.
That's how she's making them. And they left them weapons, and they're centaurian assassins. They're there to kill Zola, who we are introduced to then. And again, this is another one of these things that you are thrown right in the scene because Hermes.
And not only that, I'll tell you, when you jump in, you have the freaking, the centaurs being made. And when you jump right inside of Zola's house where you see Hermes right away and Zola has a gun on him. He's just saying, like, look, Zola, we must leave now. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, she's like, who the fuck are you? And it's great because, listen, I've come for you and your child. And it's almost like a Terminator thing. But the other thing is cool because he has like almost like a World War I helmet on. I mean, everything is very visual. He's very tall and thin.
Well, it's not like Jay Garrick's helmet. Like, it's supposed to be the freaking Hermes helmet and shit like that.
Yeah, it's so
really cool.
It's
a really cool stylized goddamn concept of the gods. And, I don't know if people have a problem with it, but like the freaking candle-headed like Hades and shit like that. I think I've seen before that people don't like that. But, like,
I love it.
I like this stylized look of everybody.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
it makes them very distinct.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I don't have a problem with any of the gods' representations in this whole entire run. I love them. I think it's cool. You just look at them, I'm like, I think Eric would like an action figure of that guy there. But yeah, Hermes is there, and he just shows up. Like you said, Zola is in her undies. She's got a shotgun, and basically he's like, get the fuck out of my house. But yeah, Hermes is there. No, there's assassins coming. And all of a sudden you see an arrow go, and it's going to kill freaking Zola. Hermes pushes her aside and gets hit himself. He takes the arrow for her, and then these centaurs fucking
this
bust in.
The size of a goddamn spear.
Yeah, and the centaurs bust in. They have, a mace and a sword that we saw that Hera left for them.
Him,
and boy, it's so good. And they're about to kill them, kill Zola. And that's when Hermes has his key, and throws it to Zola, and she grabs it, and then gets teleported to London into the apartment of Diana, Wonder Woman, which, again, we don't know what's going on. She wakes up. You see her right away, and you're like, oh, it's Wonder Woman. She grabs Zola by the neck and just like, who the hell are you? And she's like, I don't know why I'm here. What's going on? These monsters, they were going to kill me. And, yeah, there was a god and a man with eyes, and they were in my home. And
there's a weird line here, but I actually spent a lot of time on this goddamn one line because it bothered me at first because, what do you think you're doing? Monsters, they're going to kill me. And then she looks at Wonder Woman and says, are you? And for some reason, I took this at first, she recognizes who this is.
Yeah,
are you Wonder Woman? I was going to it's like, are you going to kill me? I'm like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm
She's
sorry.
Not. And then I think one of the best things in this is the, I mean, you want to go with Azzarello, oh, he was such an asshole that he made Wonder Woman such a brutal thing. Now she does grab Zola by the neck, but it's just she was startled when she sees the key.
Some strange person's in her goddamn apartment at night while she's sleeping. Yeah, she should have grabbed somebody by the goddamn throat.
And when she sees that key, that's when she realized, and it's great to me because she's talking, that the man threw me a key, and she sees that key right to the fucking wardrobe, Eric, and she starts putting on her Wonder Woman outfit.
I want to know is that she's she's getting out of bed. She lets Zola go, and she freaking, takes time to wrap the goddamn sheet around her to freaking, then she just walks 10 feet and just drops. She's like, why did you take so much time
because
to make sure that sheet was secured to your goddamn body?
You can't have nudity in these comics, Eric.
It's
they
just
had to have it. That's
it.
All
like,
it was. But
you could draw around it somehow.
I think
time wrapping the sheet around her.
I guess
to drop
that Cliff Chang, he wanted to show her go over to that wardrobe, but when she opens it up, you see the shield, you see the helmet, and all this.
See,
and
ass,
I think
the
best line of this.
Goddamn, the tiara, freaking the sword. I'm like, this fucking goddamn wardrobe is packed.
No, yeah. And I, the best line to me is she's like, you're going to give me that key. And she's like, no, no. And Zola says, no. And then Wonder Woman's like, you know, I can just take it right from your hand, but I prefer you give it to me willingly. I really like that. I like that she's not, I think that she already realizes this woman's scared out of her fucking, you know, mind. And I, you know, she doesn't want to do anything vicious. But yeah, she dresses up as Wonder Woman. That's when Zola sees, you know, you're Wonder Woman. It's like, yep, that's me, and you're safe here. I give you my word.
Wonder Woman is to her. Oh, when she's huge. Face to face like that. Like,
the funny thing is too, and it's something throughout the whole series, because when even later when she's in that club listening to the band, you see her so high above the crowd, and it's so cool. And it's not ridiculous. It's just she's like, you know, 6'2", and Zola's probably like 5'2". I mean, there's a difference there. This is when Zola actually goes, has the key,
like, is that
about
how
to
you
give it to Wonder Woman.
Jim, when we stand and look at
that's
each other?
Not, you're not that tall. I told you, I saw a guy who was like 7'4" in Wawa. The guy was fucking towering.
Long. People are
as
not
Wonder
to be
Woman,
that
yeah,
big.
No, he's not. Probably has the worst knees. But yeah, as Wonder Woman's about to grab the key, Zola just grabs her wrist, and they get teleported back to the farm. And you see one feather go. That's from Hermes. But then they all get attacked. They get attacked by the Centaur assassins, and Wonder Woman saves Zola. And as this is going on, it's where you actually end up seeing during this fight Pandora. By the way, I don't know if you looked and saw her.
I never see her.
It's weird in this sort of book because the art is so stylized that it's weird. But it's when Zola Wonder Woman gets knocked down. And it's a big fight between, you know, Wonder Woman and the Centaurs. In the meantime, you get a whole bunch of stuff with Apollo talking to the oracles and what they see and what's going to go on. And basically they say, you know, an Olympian's been killed by or will be killed by one of their own. And there's going to be a war, and somebody's going to take over Olympus, a guy with a crown of horns and a cape of blood. And it's just Apollo's there. Apollo wants to take over. Apollo wants to be the ruler. Now, he's assuming that the Olympian that's killed is Zeus himself, when in fact later it kind of goes that it's Wonder Woman killing Ares.
Yeah.
That kind of is the main thing of this whole series. But yeah, and he wants to know where Zeus is, and the oracles say, or I would say it's the oracles more than the fates, just because of what they're saying. And they say basically he's gone. Zeus is no longer in existence. We don't know what's going on now. As a spoiler alert, Zola is pregnant with Zeus's baby, who ends up being Zeus. It's
when we find out it's going to be Zeus, that's such a weird concept. The whole thing, though, like, she's like, you know, he impregnated her with himself. I'm like, God, that's so fucked up. Now,
the one line, though, is hide him away.
The fates are talking to Apollo. I'm like, I'm reading this thing. I'm like, you know, and a cape of blood flowing from its shoulders onto a woman, a naked woman at his feet. The feet? They're bare, like the woman. Then it is my family. Yeah. What the fuck?
I guess that probably has something to do with in mythology.
Like,
they
don't wear shoes. That's my family.
But yeah, there's Wonder Woman is trying to protect Zola from these centaurs and just, you know, goes to town, ends up killing him, and then keeps saying and says it throughout the thing. Zola, I told you to stay close. And I will next time, I swear. And that's Hermes comes out and says, you shouldn't be here. You got to take this girl out. He's wounded. He has that big ass arrow into his gut. And he's like, you got to protect her or the queen will see her dead, meaning Hera. And Wonder Woman wants to stop it. This is where basically Zola's like, you know what? You're wrong. This whole thing that you're saying, that you got the wrong person, still in her undies, and you're like, you got the wrong person, I don't have a kid. And that's where Hermes says, no, you're pregnant. And she, and Wonder Woman's like, she is. And Hermes says, by Zeus. And then Zola's like, oh shit. Now the other thing I think is very even though Hermes is taller, I think that it is symbolic that the centaurs were trying to shoot Zola in the stomach. They were trying to kill her, you know, her future baby. We go back to Apollo, which basically he still wants to know, you know, where my father is, what's going on, and everything, though, that they say, you know, your family, it's in trouble, whatever. They always are, so it doesn't make
I like that the spell that he's put them under to become these oracles or the fates, whatever you want to call them, because they're all three, so you think three fates right away, but the whole thing is they are, you know, channeling the future and the freaking prophecies and all this stuff going on, but there's still a bit of themselves. It's like, one of your father's children will murder another and take their place.
That's so screwed.
screwed father up. Wants. That's so screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And he's there, and then basically he just sets him on fire. He's done with him. He heard the freaking prophecy, and he's done with him and just sets him in the bone. Flaming bones fly out, and that's where that first issue ends. And when it starts up the next one, freaking Hera is pissed. And because she's watching all this. She's watching this in her vision pool. Right. And she sees that what she tried to set up didn't happen, that you have Hermes injured, Wonder Woman there, and Zola is still there unharmed with, obviously, what we know will be Zeus in her belly, Eric. But that's where you're also introduced to Strife. And she's one of my favorite characters in this whole series because she's just screwed up. She's Strife. That's all she wants to do is cause problems. And she does right here.
Strife was one of these characters because when I took over from Meredith Finch's run, Strife was a mainstay through that as well, where she just kept coming back and like causing fucking problems. For Wonder Woman. So I'm like, all right, I know you, Strife. Let's keep going.
Yeah, and Strife's cool because, I mean, and here's the thing. You have to remember, reading this, the gods are the gods. It's not like they're good or bad. And they do say that occasionally, you know, throughout this, that, listen, it's not like I'm on this side or that side. The gods are there for their own reason. Strife is there. You know, surprisingly, to cause strife. That's all she wants to do. And
one trick pony.
Yeah, and she's connected. She's, you know, the sister of Ares. So, you know, she's part of, you know, there's war, there's strife, like all that. But at points, she legitimately isn't bad. She just likes to cause trouble. She likes to gossip. She likes to, and all of this is it. She's talking to Hera, trying to rile Hera up and
that. That's the best to her. She just goes, hey, why do you seem so distressed over here? And she's like, yeah. And then she just keeps talking shit to try to get more of a reaction out of her.
Yeah, and she's just like, you know what, and it goes on again, you know, Hera's like, I am your father's wife. Yeah, but there's flings, you know, these women and their offspring, constant reminders as how unloved you are, and then takes a drink of wine. Like, you bitch. But yeah, they're there, and Hera's just pissed. Hera's like, fuck it. And it's funny, too, because at this point, Hera, and there she is with the peacocks around her and stuff, and even her throne is like a peacock plume. The other gods kind of are like, you know, oh, Hera wants to take control of everything. It's not just that she wants to do either. It's just she's just pissed, and she really at
she
one
wants
point
to be loved by her
she
husband,
wants to be loved
it.
By her husband. And even at a point when she does go to Paradise Island at the Themyscira, she even wants to know at one point, like she almost breaks down and says to Hippolyta, like, what was it that you got him to love you? What was it? But she doesn't. She's pissed, and she's going to take her revenge out. But again, everybody else, it's all to do with taking over Olympus because Zeus is gone. They don't know where he is. But Wonder Woman then
heads off. We got a power struggle going on.
Yeah, yeah. And Wonder Woman heads off to Themyscira, Paradise Island, with Zola and Hermes.
But, Jim, we shouldn't be able to go here. I learned that recently.
I know. But and also, I just like it because Strife's like, Witcha, they're like, hey, there is a price to laying down with my husband, is what Hera says. And then Strife says, which no one knows better than you, huh? Where are they now? Talking about the three, Hermes, Wonder Woman, and Strife. And I love that. See, this is what people got mad, but I love that cockless coop improperly named. And then the next thing is the placard, Paradise Island. I thought that's so funny. Cockless coop. But yeah, as it goes there, they go. The minute that Diana sets foot on the island with Zola and Hermes, the Amazonians can smell Hermes. He's a man. He shouldn't be there. And they are throwing a lot of stuff out there. You know, the putrid, the air is putrid with Musk.
Talking about,
like I said, talking about shit like, what hangs between the shanks now fouls my nose. And then, hey, maybe we'll cut it off. I mean, it's pretty harsh with it. But I'm telling you,
they step on this island, you realize right away that the Amazons are already surrounding them as they walk through the fucking jungle. I'm like, you know what? You women are kind of scary. I don't ever want to go to Paradise Island.
And they're about to, you know, and they say, perhaps I should take my blade and separate the offense from the offender, leave them to shrink and wither on the sand. I'm like, I do not want to be there. And
I'm
Wonder
sorry,
Woman steps
I was in
up.
A boat accident. I just kind of washed up here. Please don't cut my dick off.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman pretty much, you know, announces, listen, it's me. It's the princess, and they come out. Oh, my God. And that's where Hippolyta comes out. And I like her look. I know that people didn't like the blonde hair. But
oh, I
just
dig it. This is my
favorite
look
like
for Hippolyta.
Yeah, I like all of the look. I love the art in this whole deal. I think it's really good. But, yeah, now she's going to go and talk to Hippolyta about everything. And it's you know, you have the games going on in the background and things like that. But Hippolyta then kind of gets the idea about Hera and Zola and all this stuff. And there's trouble. And she knows there's trouble. And
the
thing is, too, like
I've told you, the whole going into the rebirth with, you know, Greg Rucka's running everything with that. When we went to the Themyscira that turned out to be the false Themyscira, the lies, you know, when Steve Trevor and all them there. This scene right here to me is really what it like they took to show you that this was this Themyscira and shit like that, that this is the lies. This is everything that we're dealing with right now. This is the shit that Greg Rucka is getting rid of because it seems really reminiscent, almost like, you know, the way everything is set up, the way they're all sitting there with the freaking games going on. This is exactly how I remember it when Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman thought they went home, like, you know, took Wonder Woman home and it all turned out to be fake.
Yeah, and this is, again, it's very reminiscent of the movie that just came out. But, yeah, Wonder Woman's talking to her mother and basically telling her what's going on. Listen, this Zola, she's pregnant with Zeus's kid and things like that. And Hippolyta's like, you don't want to get between, you know, these gods. You got to, you know, if this is what's going on and this is a woman that carries Zeus's child, Hera's going to stop at nothing. And it's going to be tragic. And also, it's like, why are you siding with Zeus rather than, you know, Hera? And I love this because at some point you would kind of sit there and go, yeah, why is it? But it's all for Zola because she's stuck in the middle of it. She's
not
innocent
with
in
Zeus
all this.
Or Hera. She is there for Zola and Zola alone.
Yeah, and it's funny because then Hermes and her are sitting in this room and Hermes just is like, hey, you know, Zeus always goes and makes a form that is exciting to the woman, you know, to kind of woo her. What was the form? And Zola's like, maybe a truck driver, might have been a guy in a band.
Hustler, I don't know.
Yeah,
I like men.
Yeah, it's basically, she says, yeah, I like men, Hermes, and I'm not going to apologize for that. And again, there are people who were pissed and like, oh, man, that's awful.
Why?
I kind of think that that's a pretty strong deal. She's like, fuck it. I like men. I'm not going
to
apologize to you.
In my mind, Zola likes going to the goddamn hick bar, wherever the fuck she lives at, the truck stop fucking bar, and she goes and brings somebody home and fucks them. That's about it. She likes men.
Yeah, and the thing that I like the best about it is she doesn't remember which one was Zeus, so it really wasn't that big a deal to her. And I think that's actually pretty cool in the whole scheme of things.
I'll tell you, because it is a cool twist. Whenever you have things like this, even when Hippolyta talks about it later, when Zeus and her, you know, like fucked and shit like that, and she got pregnant with Wonder Woman, the whole idea you always hear is like Hermes is talking about, oh, he came to me, he was in this beautiful form and all this shit, and hell, like it was the most brilliant, like beautiful thing in my life and all. No, so it was like, could have been anybody. I don't know. I get around.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that that's part of the reason Zeus went to her, because he wants to keep it quiet. He doesn't want this woman to be like, oh, man, when I was doing this, this guy was this and that and the other thing. It really meant nothing to her. She can't even remember which guy it was. And also, she's pretty goddamn strong. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, she's one because he's not just impregnating her like he does kind of what Hera thinks, just goes around and impregnates anybody willy-nilly just because he wants to fuck. This is somebody who he's entrusting himself with.
Yeah.
That he has her. She is she's pregnant with him. And so he needs somebody who's going to be a tough cookie. And also, you know, you could even go the whole deal, somebody that, you know, if he knew what was happening or going to happen where he picked her, that this would be somebody that Wonder Woman would want to help. Who knows how it goes. But yeah, we go into what now is a big thing, is the story of how Wonder Woman came to be. And it is that, you know, the lie of her being made of clay, which we find out even in this, it's a lie.
We're right back to what we're dealing with now, freaking Greg Rucka's The Lies, because, you know, where we find out that Themyscira and the New 52 and all that has been a lie this whole time, Wonder Woman, this is dealing with a lot of it where her entire life or even her existence was a lie to her because she was always told she was made out of clay instead of actually being the daughter of Zeus, which I love that freaking, you know, that is our definitive origin in my mind. The New 52 said, fuck it, look, this is what we're going with. Wonder Woman's origin has always been a mess. We are fucking defining it right here. Yeah. This is what it is.
And then, I like,
you know,
it because
6 years later, we don't even know. I'm sorry.
And I know. And the thing that I really like.
I have no
like,
idea if she is the daughter of Zeus anymore, which is what we're dealing with in
Rebirth. And the thing that I like in this is, hey, you know, and the story is very mythological. I mean, that's all it really is. It's based on that. So I like that when Brian Azzarello decided, okay, that clay thing, it was just. It was a lie to Wonder Woman, but it's also a lie to Hera. It was a lie to everyone.
Keep Diana safe.
To keep her safe. And I like that as this goes on, the whole story, his whole run, it makes complete sense. This is not just him saying, okay, you know what would be cool? This would explain why she has powers. This would explain this and that, that she's Zeus's daughter.
Yeah, she's
no,
demigod.
It's more than that. It explains everything in the series. It's not just something he just throws out willy-nilly just to explain her power set. It actually goes and ties into everything that's going on in this series. And she finds out that most of the people that she ends up hating throughout this whole series are family. So it's, you know, you're dealing with her. You have the Themyscira thing, Hippolyta. When that kind of gets pushed to the side because, unfortunately, they end up turned into snakes and stone, she still has a family, and it's a fucked up family because it's the Olympians. Because at this point, that's the problem. Hippolyta's worried this whole time, and Diana ends up, you know, having with Alika having a battle. They train. She is big though. She, you know, she's pretty because she looks like Red Sonja. But
she
they're gonna
Artemis.
Fight. Yeah, really, she does. They're going to fight, just training, but she has ulterior motives. She is the one who thinks that Diana is, you know, shouldn't even be allowed back on the island, that she has deserted them. What would happen if Hippolyta died? You know, this will be our queen. She doesn't even care. She never comes back.
She cares more about man's world than she does her home and shit like
that.
Ended up dealing with a lot later on. The idea when she became queen, like, you know, the Amazons were pissed because she is a part of man's world, the Justice League. Everything seems to be more important than her sister.
Well, again, you want to go with the whole thing. Anybody who's reading Aquaman or did in the New 52, same thing. It's surface world versus Atlantis. It's the whole deal. Well, as Hippolyta is saying, like, this is trouble, you know, for the illegitimate son of Zeus, or, you know, here on the island, you know, that Zola's there impregnated by Zeus. This Hera's not going to like this. Knowing the bastard son of Zeus is on our island, I'm really getting afraid of what's going to happen. And there's a big explosion. You expect it to be Hera. It's not. Yeah. It's Strife. Strife shows up. And I really like the way this has played out. Now, Strife is like a giant and is walking. And as she's walking, you see it's just her. But the Amazonians are like fighting. Oh, my God, they have a whole army. Sisters, come on, go. And you end up seeing that Wonder Woman realizes then, listen, stop. It's Strife. She's making us attack each other.
I love it too, because if I'm going through this, I didn't even get this right away, because the explosion, everybody starts running out to it. Yeah. We see the freaking, was it Aquila? I can't remember her fucking name now.
Yeah.
But she, and no, it wasn't her. It was just some other freaking Amazon, because I thought it was very similar.
It's
Alika, but,
I think.
You know, she
what
goes
the,
out on your knees, and then you just see the freaking glow of Strife's eyes, and you know something. Yep. The rest of the Amazons are running towards this thing, and as it's going on, you know, these like the Amazons are thinking that they're just dying left and right now.
Yeah, and they
freaking,
think
you know,
that
Strife
they're being attacked.
Walks through the jungle. She just becomes this giant, so she could be this godlike character
giant.
To watch over her freaking madness that she's causing.
Yeah, and it's just madness. She's made them. And again, this goes right in with her being the sister of Ares and things like that, where she, you know, this is what she does. I'm sure that, you know, when Ares goes and causes
Alika,
the war, she's there. Yeah, Alika. She's there just to have fun because the Amazonians, they're attacking each other. There's nobody else on there but Strife. And, you know, Strife even says, you know, hey, you know, they attacked me first. And Wonder Woman knows right away. And that's the other thing that's kind of confusing to me, is she does know all these gods right away.
Right.
But because she knows, oh, Strife, now this confusion makes sense. And, you know, they're going on and she's like, oh, my brother, hey, Ares, Harley Poor War is lost in confusion because Wonder Woman thinks that Ares sent her. And she says, no, I come in peace. You're going to leave in pieces, Eric. And Wonder Woman's like, oh, why are you mocking us and whatever? And this is where it starts, because she goes, ouch, like your tongue has never tasted that, you know, peace, whatever, that Wonder Woman says. And Strife says, ouch. And here, all I wish for is to embrace my little sister. And Wonder Woman has no idea what she's talking about. Goes, you assume that mortal carries a girl child? And it's not who she's talking about. She says, I'm not talking about the, you know, the baby in Zola's womb. No, Wonder Woman, I speak of you. And there's Hera. And now Hera knows.
And the thing is, Strife knows that Hera's watching.
Bitch. It's all a bitch plan that she's there. And it's pretty cool because at that point, Wonder Woman puts the lasso around Strife's neck. It doesn't do anything. And that's the funny, too. The thing about it is you want to go full out thinking that it can affect her. Strife tells the truth. She says, no, Wonder Woman, I'm speaking of you, and picks Wonder Woman up like a little toy on the lasso.
Dangling there, yeah.
And that's what Hera sees. And like I said, now she's pissed. Now she knows that Wonder Woman is indeed another one of these bastard kids of Zeus. And she's, you know, fucking pissed. But in
the
meantime,
not only that, now she gets to go to fucking Paradise Island because she not only knows that Wonder Woman is a bastard child of Zeus that she needs to fucking destroy and get fucking revenge on Hippolyta about. But we also have Zola there, too.
Yep, and Zola's there. So it's like, you know, two for one. In the meantime, the Amazons are – they're making the funeral pyres for their dead. Yeah. Strife's there. And again, Strife's there talking shit. She's just talking shit while they're burying, and she's real big again at the one point. One point she's down to their size. She gets real big and just laying there on the beach while they're making this, and they're burying their dead or getting ready to burn them. And she's just like, oh, man, you know, you refer to your princess as clay. And that's another thing that it seems to be – that was the insult that they would give Wonder Woman as she was a little girl. Oh, yeah, clay and all. Well, now they realize – and again – Wonder Woman realizes she has been lied to all along and is pissed. And this is the lies and the main thing. I like this. I love the way that she thought her origin. It was all messed up. And now, but now, like you said, with Greg Rucka, it all kind of, you know, it all gets tossed around and things like that.
It almost is a redo of what we already had. I'm telling you, like, he's dealing with the lies and the truth, and people are getting really excited about him. I'm like, We already dealt with this whole thing. It was the lies and the truth back in the beginning of the New 52 because at this point, Wonder Woman's life is a lie and she finds out the truth of her origins here and it makes perfect sense. And it's really cool. The one thing I really like is when Strife is a giant laying on the beach and the freaking Amazons are just fucking, you know, talking shit about Wonder Woman calling her clay and she's letting them in on the goddamn thing. Like, you call her clay, like, you don't know. That's fucked up. He's like, I thought I was the only one on the island casting some shade. I'm like,
yeah, it made me laugh. And yeah, she and Strife thinks it's great. Like, you imagine that Strife loves to just sit around and hear fucking, you know, shade being thrown at everyone and all stories. And she is just thinking it's the funniest thing. In the meantime, the Amazons are burying their dead that she caused. And she doesn't care. She doesn't care at all. But yeah, it goes then, and from there pretty much goes to the point where Hippolyta now, and she says even before, like, oh, I wish this day never came, and she does, you go through the origin then of her meeting Zeus, and, you know, falling in love with him in battle, and it's a classic deal, they're fighting, they kind of come together, but yeah, and Wonder Woman just, you know, she was lied to, she's pissed, and Zeus then just left, and, you know, Hippolyta came up with the story to make it so that she's hidden because all in all, behind all this, Hippolyta, the thing she loves the most is Wonder Woman, is Diana, her daughter. And so, you know, she tried to protect her from Hera because you know that Hippolyta knew all along that this won't play for Hera and it doesn't. Eventually, it does end up being the end, you know, for now of Hippolyta. But as they're burying their dead, Wonder Woman finding out about this, she's pissed, but then that's where Alika starts throwing shade at Wonder Woman and saying and goes in front of all the Amazons like, listen, this is bullshit, you know, we're warriors, you know, this Wonder Woman nonsense has to end, and I have to step up and say it. And it, again, like you said, this goes out throughout the whole New 52 where the Amazons, there's always, you know, this doubt of why isn't she with us, why does she cares more about the man's world than
you're going on. I'm fucking just sitting here and I'm looking at Zeus when he came to Hippolyta, and like, I'm just thinking back to the whole thing, like he chooses the form that, like, the, you know, like, would woo you the most or something like that, and make you fall in love with it. I'm like, so what it is a naked man with a weapon wearing a freaking cape of like feathers with dreadlocks. I'm like, you know what? It's a good look. I like you, Zeus.
Yeah, it is pretty good. and in the meantime, then the other thing, Wonder Woman finds out that most everybody knows. They all know. The Amazons all know, and she feels like a fool. She feels like she has been, you know, people knew all along all of this stuff, but yet they still threw shade at her about, you know, hey, Clay, and things like that. And it's just – and then you get Alika, who also – that's probably part of it. Like, oh, look, she's not even – one of us, but you know, you even have that thing thrown in that she was the quote-unquote perfect Amazon, because at the point where the lie was about her being made of clay, she was made without the seed of man. That's a lie too, but she says, Hippolyta says, I lied to you because if Hera ever learned that you were Zeus's daughter, she would come and just kill you in your crib. I had to protect you because I love you. And that's when Diana's just like, you know what? I feel like a goddamn fool. I'm a lie. You're a fool. You're so wrong.
And it's fucked up, too, because she spent her goddamn whole childhood apparently with the rest of the freaking Amazon just throwing shade her way, yeah, called her clay. I'm thinking
all knowing.
The whole idea, though, where she is the perfect Amazon because no man's like no seed of man made her. I'm like, wow. No, nobody should be talking any shit because she's better than all of you.
Oh, fuck. I know. And it's funny, though, because I think what Wonder Woman goes from this is she, like, again, she's mad. And she says to Apollo, this is bullshit. You know, everybody here lied to me. You knew this was, you know, the case. And I love the line, too. She says, mother, to Apollo, mother, huh? For the first time I can call you that, knowing your blood is in me. You're so wrong. I'm a lie, and you're a fool, and you made one out of me, and walks off. And I really, really like that. Like, that's the whole lies that I can get behind, that, damn, you know, right. Wonder Woman. But, and the thing is,
and it's
that,
not a convoluted mess to fucking tell.
And also,
story.
Like you said, I even like the way it goes, where Wonder Woman isn't like, fuck yeah, Zeus is my dad. Fuck yeah, I'm in. She is embarrassed.
Start calling me Clay. Start calling me Demigod.
Well, I'm
bitches.
Telling you, that's why I think that she actually sits there. And if she sits there thinking, because then she goes and just starts beating up the forest. But while she's doing that, I imagine, like, you guys called me Clay and then went off and fucking laughed behind my fucking back. You bitches. She is so angry at this point. Also, it leads into a whole thing where you get the idea at this moment where Greg Rucka's whole thing is trying to get back to Themyscira. In this, it's Wonder Woman like, I don't want to ever see this fucking place again. Like, at this point of her anger and upset and feeling like a fool, it's just like, I want to get the fuck away from you, you fucking assholes, because you all knew this, and my whole life is just a fucking joke to you and a lie. But yet, it ends up, and I love it. I really do, but that's where...
The whole scene after she gets done beating up the forest because she's fucking pissed, like, in my mind, she's fucking fight dancing out in the woods and shit like that.
She's fucking mad.
She comes out, and there's freaking,
Alika.
Alika, goddamn, yeah. I can never remember the name, but Alika's all like, Wonder Woman walks out of the jungle, and she's like, there she is, sister, it's the one that brought Shane Moran. Wonder Woman just fucking
she just clocks
runs
her.
Up and clocks her in the fucking face, yeah. Picks up the goddamn, and pretty much stands there like, what do you got? Who's fucking next? What do you fucking,
yeah,
and
then it'd uses be great
the torch to set fire to the goddamn dead right there.
Just, yeah, gets done, and like, this is my deal. I'm doing this, and we're going to honor the dead, and, you know, the only shame on this island is mine, and I will take it from you all, never to return. And she's like, fuck it. And then that's when the one Amazon's like, Diana, and she's like, no, don't call me that or Clay ever again. I am Wonder Woman, and goes off.
And that's
I just
awesome.
Wish it's great. And I wish that when she was beating up the trees, I wish that they had a soundtrack and Footloose was playing. It's like Kevin Bacon
head.
Jumping around. Oh, it's so good. And the other thing about that is she storms off and she is beating the shit out of the woods. The Amazons are all, like, looking like, oh, shit, we fucked shit
these loud-ass thunder crashes in the fucking woods from the goddamn impacts of the blow she's thrown at the trees. I'm like, holy shit, she is pissed.
Yeah, she is so angry. And, yeah, she says, listen, call me Wonder Woman because that's, you know, that's what she is. And she's going
to go
with it.
Such a great way to end that freaking
issue. Oh, yeah, and that's so good. And now we go off and we have Apollo continuing his deal. And he goes to Darfur and he seeks out Ares. And Ares is in this bar. There's war going all around. He's covered in blood. Everybody in the bar is dead. Fucking bullets through their heads and things like that.
And he's just drinking and shit like that.
And he's just...
I love Ares. The depiction what he has with the conversation he has with Apollo.
It's
the
great.
Depiction of Ares through this is my favorite of all the gods.
Yes.
I don't like his look though. I don't like
you
him
know
being
why?
This withered old man.
Yeah, you know what it is? That's Brian Azzarello. That he
is
made
it?
Him.
Oh, you know what?
Look at him. He made himself war. It's Brian Azzarello. That's what I said at the beginning. I said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. But yeah, it's Brian Azzarello. He
it
has
really
himself
is.
In there. And he must have either said to Cliff Chang or Cliff Chang thought it was a joke. It is. It's exactly him, where that's him depicting himself as war, who actually is, you know, one of the centerpieces of this. But as he does, as Ares goes through this and talks about war and what it means and how he's involved, is so good. And it
and
goes on.
That, even when it goes on, because when Apollo is trying to figure out what's it going to be, like, are you going to, like, you know, come against me when I try to take the throne on the shit? He's like, look, I don't care about any of this right now. It might change tomorrow when I wake up. I don't know. Like, all of our actions are freaking, you know, depicted by the mortals who worship us and shit. Like, I'm like, this is such a cool conversation.
Yeah, and the basic conversation to what war thinks is like, listen, We don't rule man. Man rules us. You can fucking, you know, decide all your deals and think you're doing all this stuff. But in the end, it's the decisions of men that end up, you know, kind of leading us where we're going. And I think it's awesome.
And
I think
it's
really good.
And American Gods, this whole thing. And yeah. I'm like, that's really what it made me feel like when I was reading that back in the day. Even watching the show now that that's out, I'm like, this is very American Gods, and I can get behind that completely.
And it's funny because as it goes on, when Wonder Woman actually does become the goddess of war, they do play around with the thing, and it even goes past when Azarello left, but they go through the whole thing where the god of war isn't just war. Like, you can't stop. Like, if you're the goddess of war, Diana can't just decide, yep, I'm not going to be it, and that'll make the world at peace. It's not like that. It doesn't. He's just there, and that's why I like the whole depiction of him saying, like, you know what, we think we're in charge, but, you know, we're really not. The things going on are man's things.
It was so weird, too, when we got into Meredith Finch's run with that, where she still was the goddess of war and everything, where we have this concept because, you know, her thinking that she is the god of war, and she can make it that wars don't happen. It's not going to happen because man is going to always war, but the whole idea where she doesn't give into the whole thing starts, you know, causing her pain, and then eventually it doesn't. Yeah. So, like, it never played out well, but, you know, we don't have to worry about this part here because we're not there yet, but, you know, it all became a mess when Meredith Finch decided she was going to, like, you know, continue the run. She's going to bring Wonder Woman out of the whole freaking, you know, mythology, making her part of the big DCU and stuff like that. But then when that didn't work, she brought it back, and it just never played out as well as it did here in Azarello's.
I'll tell you, even the whole thing as it went on, because he ended up leaving at issue 35, the whole thing never really – you never really got a full grip of her as the goddess of war, the god of war. It really didn't go, you know,
back to it,
very
it was
far.
All a lie.
Yeah, now it's all a lie. That, and I'm telling you, her becoming the god of war, I can't say that's my favorite thing.
Thinking,
it is cool. And remember of Meredith Finch, like, Ares came back then because the gods, they're immortal. They'll come back. And I just wish that, hey, you know what, Ares, because at one point she even just, like, take it. I don't want to be this anymore. But, yeah, it kind of just ended. Now it's all lies, which is ridiculous. But Wonder Woman is amongst the crowd in London watching
That's
a band
the thing,
play.
People. Stop listening to this right now because none of this matters anymore.
Yeah, really, it doesn't.
God damn it.
Watching a band play, it looks like Danzig is playing in this little bar. And she is towering above the whole crowd. And I think it's really, really well done. In the meantime, it's funny because as it's going on, you see Strife in the background. She's about to make out
with
some
guy.
Yeah, she's about to make out with him, it looks like, and she's just causing problems. I guess in the wraparound, that guy's girlfriend is right around. She's just causing trouble like she always does. But yeah, Wonder Woman just wants to be among people and listen to music. Obviously, it looks like she likes heavy metal.
In my mind, she's trying to distract herself. Like, she's dealing with a lot of shit right now. So they went to this club, which is very weird for me because I never think of Diana just going out and fucking hanging out at a club and listening to a band play like this. And as she's, in my mind, distract herself, Strife's right there. Baby sister, come have a drink with me.
No,
like,
yeah,
she's
what a
picking
bitch.
It up and fucking making her deal with this nonsense that she doesn't want to deal with.
Because she wants to cause strife. And I'll tell you, at the beginning of Superman Wonder Woman book, Diana does this as well. She takes Clark out to a club, may even be this club, because they go out to listen to music. This is something that it seems in the New 52 she kind of did enjoy doing. But yeah, Strife just does not want her to get it out of her mind. She wants to cause trouble. But then she does say, listen, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to help you guys and be nice about it. But yeah, she's always playing all ends, you know, both ends of the deal. In the meantime, the big thing of this part is that Hera goes to Themyscira. Now that Hera knows what went on. And also, not only that, but the lie of Diana being that has to just, it's not just that Zeus had a baby with Hippolyta. Now it's, you motherfuckers kept this from me
I'm telling you, that's
all
the thing.
This
like,
time.
Hera is their patron god of the island and thing, and you have betrayed her to this degree?
It's so crazy how much that, and again, she did throw shade at Paradise Island earlier before she knew this. So and she's a goddess. They go back and forth. They don't care. But in the meantime, there's a price to pay now, and she does go.
And
Hera
that's the thing
tries
too,
to,
is because when the Amazons realize that fucking Hera has come to freaking Paradise Island, like, all the Amazons are ready to freaking, you know, like, load up, get all the weapons ready to defend their queen.
Yeah, and she says no.
Just stay back, I have to deal with this queen to queen because I have fucked up and I have to fucking deal with this myself.
She has. And she wants the Amazons to stay back because I think that she knows.
She knows so shit's screwed. Going down.
She doesn't want the Amazons to go down because of her mistake. But yeah, they're Amazons. They're loyal to Hippolyta and they'll do whatever. They come out. They come out and surround her, or at least behind her. And she even says, she's like, she's pretty nice. Like, you know what? They're pretty sneaky, these ninja women. But you know what? There's a lot of trouble because you shouldn't have done it. But this is where I said, I really like the point where she's talking because Hera's like, please forgive me. Please, you know, don't do this. Don't. It's not their fault. Please. And this is where Hera's like, you know, what was it that you made my husband love you? Like, she is about to ask that.
And what can I do to make him love me?
Yeah, that's what she wants to do. She said, and that's why when Strife was with her earlier, basically all Strife said, kept saying was, oh, man, you know what? You kind of wish you were loved like these other ladies.
Hey, ooh, what's it like? Why you got to fuck around so much,
what's
huh?
it like to be the unwanted woman on Olympus? And it ends up that she ends up turning the Olympians to snakes. Or not the Olympians, the Amazons to snakes, and then makes Hippolyta into a stone statue. But that's
It is such a great progression of events, too, because the Amazons, it's all like in raining, it's thunder and lightning fucking shit. Yeah. The Amazons are surrounding them in a circle. It's just Hippolyta and Hera, they're talking about this whole thing, like, you know, can you please, you know, forgive me? And like, you know, and it seems at first, though, like when you're first reading this, like, maybe Hera does. It seems like she has like a fucking change of heart. She's like, you know what? I wish I could, and then fucking just goes all monster god about it.
Yeah, and she
she drops the axe, and he's like, Queen Hippolyta, you know, and like, it really feels like she's going to forgive this, like, you know, let bygones be bygones.
No, I actually think she feels bad for this.
She's the queen of the gods. She cannot let this fucking
trespass
go.
And in the meantime, you want to go with, you know, a back deal like you said about American Gods even. She's going to now get rid of pretty much a big power base of hers that, you know, loves her and wants to serve her or whatever. But that she's betrayed her. She can't just let it go, like you said. Now, the next bit with Zola and Wonder Woman, I really like again, too. And this is what gets me – I'm going to tell you. We're going to keep talking about how Greg Rucka's story and people with this. And a lot of people who haven't read this Azzarello run. I see people like, oh, you know, I heard that it was like really, you know, over the top and Wonder Woman. I really love the talk here with her and Zola, and they're talking, and Wonder Woman says it's about basically Zola it's home. I don't have a home. But Wonder Woman says, and I love this because Wonder Woman says that, you know what, when I grew up, I thought I was made of clay. I thought I was different. I didn't belong. I was the one person on the island who kind of was like, eh, you know what? Look at clay over there. Oh, you know, this
she
and that.
She was the outsider.
That actually shows, and she says, that's why I left. You know, when Steve Trevor crashed there, that's why she was like, I'll do it. I'll take him back to Man's World because she never felt part of the Amazons,
or
part of the island.
She never had a place to call her own.
And even
that she
like
felt accepted.
Yes, and even earlier when she does say and kind of laughs with it and says, you know, hey, mother, and huh, it's funny that I can actually call you that now and it means blood now. Like she never thought that. Like, yeah, she loved her mother, but she also, you see in this that she always felt like, you know what, I was just kind of this thing made of clay. I wasn't her real daughter. You know, she loves me, but it wasn't like we had that big a connection. Now she realizes she does and goes against her promise when she left. Now, talking to Zola, she's like, you know what? I got to go back home because now I realize my mistake. I realize that I shouldn't have stormed off like that and I shouldn't have been kind of a bitch like that and blame everyone else. And she goes back and it's a disaster.
And
you see
that's
all
one of
the
things
snakes.
We talk about, though, because when we did the Justice League trade to start this whole thing, it wasn't started off because you did a bunch of stuff beforehand to lead us
into
still,
the
Justice
first,
League Origins
trade.
Yeah,
it was the first new 52 volume that we did.
Yeah. Well, you had this Wonder Woman, you know, it's barely recognizable because how warlike she was. She loved fucking battling. Yeah. You know, she was over the top. And a lot of people I could see not liking that aspect of it. But if you get into the Wonder Woman book, she is so subdued in the first six issues of this. It's barely about Wonder Woman. It's more about the theater of the gods that she just happens to be a part of. And, you know, she's barely like the main concept. Yes, we're getting this background on her origin that she's been lied to this whole time. But this is something that's been done. You know, she is made of this. It's not her story anymore. It's like, you know, this whole gigantic goddamn thing that she has been thrown into that she now has to deal with. And it's not exactly, in my mind, a Wonder Woman story. It's more of a story about the gods.
No, it is. And yeah, that was one of the things that a lot of people had a problem with that. And also that she just didn't interact with the whole DCU when this happened. But I'm telling you, I still like it a lot.
I think it's cool as hell.
And like you said, like War and Apollo, like these are really... All the characters are so fleshed out and have their own motivations, because as Wonder Woman goes, she sees her mom has been turned to stone. She knows what happened or whatever. And it's funny because you get this narration on that thing where Apollo is talking to War still in that bar in Darfur. And he's like, hey, I have some surprising news about our father, War. And then War's like, he loves us? He goes, I said surprising, not shocking. And it's so good. It's so good just to see there is War. He's got blood splattered. It's like he can't get the blood off his hands. All the shit that's happened and he's been involved with. I love it. And he's like, no, he's missing according to the oracle. And he says, my oracle. So I guess they are. We're going as oracles, not fate. But he's like, yeah, he doesn't exist. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. But this is where Apollo's like, you know what? Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to step up and become the king. And you know what? I could use an ally. And like I said, War's just like, yeah, you know what?
You wanna I'll be sit this one out.
Yeah, and he's like, and that's where Apollo – and the funny thing about this is Apollo's not like – oh, man, this sucks. He's like, I have your word on this? Because that's just as good for Apollo.
Definitely. War is not going to be involved. Like War to come up against him while he's going for this guy.
So he's like, I have your word. And this is a perfect line from one of these Olympian gods where he's like, you know what? I need to sleep. Who can say how I'll feel when I wake? Because they're so fickle. And yeah, and that freaking Apollo's like, I wish you wouldn't be so obtuse. And then he leaves and he's like, the world will be ruled by War. When he says, our fate is not up to us. It's always been in mortal hands. Open your eyes and see what they hold. The world will always be ruled by War. It's inevitable as he walks away through fucking dead bodies and stuff like that. And it's just such a crazy idea that if this was a book that was just about the gods itself and you would have had War come into this fucking town that probably had no problems whatsoever. Well, I can even imagine Strife came in with him, caused some fucking whisperings and things like that, and the next thing you know, shit just went wrong and he just walks out. Everybody's dead. He has nothing to do now. He had his drinks with Apollo and he walks off. But this is where in the trade we switch off in the art, but I do think that they do a good job.
Yeah. The first time I read it, I must have been so into it, I didn't even notice at first. But now I can see the complete change.
Tony Akins, though, he does a good enough job. Oh, it still has that style. But this is where you get the deal where Wonder Woman and Hermes and Zola are going to start to try to do something. They're going to try to start to fight back. Yeah, they have this deal. And it starts with this crazy seahorse monster getting taken out of the Thames and stuff like that. That just comes in later. But they're sitting there and they're talking about what they're going to do about Zola. And this is where Zola, you get the idea too that she's finally come to grips that she is pregnant. Because before she's just running around and stuff like this. But now she keeps – and I don't know. I started – and it was like my wife when she was pregnant. The minute that we found out she was pregnant, the day before she's doing all this crazy shit, the minute after she's like, now I have to lift every goddamn thing. I have to do all the chores. Because as this goes on, she's like, you know what? I am carrying anything that they have to do. But a guy comes over, and his name is Lennox. And it's funny, too, because I think a lot of people must have thought that it was Constantine when it first came about, because he does act a lot like him, but he's another. He's a demigod
he's
as well.
I want to say it's English accent. It might be an Australian accent. I don't know. But
I think it's English.
He goes on heavy with the slang.
Yeah, he's there with the slang and stuff like that. He shows up. He's going to smoke. And Wonder Woman puts it out and is like, she's expecting. And he's like, oh, you know, okay. And they're going on, but he is one of the other gods. He is Diana's half-sister, or half-brother. His half-sister. And you go and find out later, he's a demigod. He has abilities. He has skin that's like stone. He can end up
and
doing.
And the thing is, for what we're dealing with, Lennox does become a big part of this, but for how he's just introduced here and for what we have in the trade,
just shows up.
I don't know if the character continues on or not because I didn't read it, but
yeah, he does.
This is not very interesting to me. Like Lennox just shows up and it's like, hey, what's going on? I'll help you out. I'm like, I don't know, Lennox. You weren't exactly fleshed out the way everybody else is.
No, they end up giving his backstory, and it ends up he ends up being more and more tied in. And I won't tell you a full out spoiler, Eric, right. But he ends up a hero. I'll tell you that. But yeah, he is part of the baptism by Blitzkrieg that happened. He was part of the Blitzkrieg, and he's old. He even says, you know what, I'm 80 years old. Yeah. And Wonder Woman's like, you don't look, but you know, that old. But he tells, hey, you know, I was in the baptism by Blitzkrieg, that London was being bombed. He ends up coming out, and that's where you get the first idea, like, huh, everybody around him is fucking dead, and he just pulls himself out of the rubble, and he's not even hurt, and he goes, and then they show him fighting the war and stuff like that.
And that's the point where I guess he realizes that he was freaking a demigod.
Yeah, and then it goes, though, from like a second to all of a sudden now a plan's on. And like you said, I can understand that reading this, you're like, huh, what's up with this guy? Because now they're taking his word. And he says, listen, that he's a god. And because he even says, you know what, I know you and what's going on. And she's pregnant. He knows what's going on. But he has a plan and tells him to head off to Zola and Diana, go to the London Bridge or whatever, a bridge waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
And while Lennox and Hermes go off to the sewers, and basically the plan is that Wonder Woman's going to talk to Poseidon, and Lennox is going to go and talk to Hades. And they show the plan. The plan ends up being that they are going to say, listen, instead of all this fighting, how about Poseidon, you rule during the day, and Hades rules during the night, with both of you sharing Hera. And it's kind of fucked up, but again, you also have to remember, these are legitimately, if any anybody has right to the throne, they are Zeus's brothers. So you would think that, you know, the three, Hera, Hades, Poseidon, do kind of have the right to kind of go with it, with all these other younger gods kind of fighting to try to do it.
For all these younger guys who are going to, Apollo fucking making his plans, and possibly Ares down the line, who we'll see how I feel tomorrow when I wake up or whatever. These gods themselves, they have legitimate claim to the throne. And the whole idea, though, that's fucked up to me is that, when the whole idea, Poseidon and Hades come together and they're oh, here's the plan. You and I, we're going to rule together, day, night. We're both going to share hair. Hera should.
Yeah.
Fuck this. What the hell
and
is
it's
this
funny,
shit?
Too.
You're a goddamn candle-headed fuck, and you're a lake
look
monster.
Look at you. You goddamn toad lake monster, Poseidon, you fucking ugly prick. But yeah, in the meantime, though, I really like it, too, because there's Poseidon and Hades, where it almost seems to me, this is just me taking it from all of what's going on, is they are listen, we got important shit to deal with. These fucking younger gods, these assholes, and they were they're the ones that get the scraps. Fuck them. And it's almost as if, Poseidon, when Wonder Woman goes to talk to Poseidon, like you said, he's like this big toad fucking swamp monster. It's almost like he's like, how dare, this is not anything up to question. How dare you're the one who's going to decide this fucking plan, of what's going to, how we're going to rule during the day and night and whatnot. But it all is a ruse anyway, which is cool.
They have no plans on allowing this to go down.
No.
They just needed freaking Poseidon and Hades to come together and talk about this whole thing just so Hera would show up so they can fuck her over.
Yep, and show up so they can fuck her over because
end up fucking Hades and her fucking Poseidon over in the long run. But the thing is, since they are these goddamn gods, they've been around for so long now, that's pretty funny, actually. Good job on that.
Yeah, and it's basically Poseidon, Wonder Woman's kind of like, hey, you know what? You know, you might be the ruler here, and, Hera's kind of against that, and she's starting to have plans and doing this, and Poseidon just gets pissed. And then meantime, you see that Hera is paying attention because the centaur assassins show up, and Zola is by herself. She's on that bridge by herself. And then, like I said, in the meantime, this is Wonder Woman basically saying, hey, you know what? Hera claims the heavens as hers, and Poseidon's like, what? And he gets so much she dares, and then you see that Hera, in fact, is watching all this, because then Wonder Woman's like, yep, she does. And yeah, and Hera is pissed again, to the point where she is going to show up and do something about it. I really like the designs. And in the meantime, Lennox is talking to Hades. Cerberus comes out at first, and then it's told to heal. And then that's where Hades comes out. And it's funny, too, because the whole thing, Lennox keeps saying, like, Hades, like, what are you getting out of this, Lennox? Like, what's your deal? All I want is a light, my mate. And it really is true, because what he ends up doing.
And I love it, too, the fact that, you know, Hades, like a little dwarf Hades with fucking a candle head. Freaking Lennox is, like, lending over, fucking just trying to light a cigarette off his fucking head. I'm like, oh, that's fucked up.
Oh, it's so funny. And in the meantime, you see Hades here, and it is Akins, and I don't know. I would guess that Cliff Chang is the guy who had basically the design. So
yeah,
too. It's kind of unfortunate because Hades now, and Poseidon looks awesome. Hades looks a little off, and when you do go and Chang comes back on, his Hades is so good, where you see like the dripping candles over his head, and it's so fucking great that it is kind of, it took me up, like I step back, I'm like, oh, you know what, it's a shame because it's not that great a design look. It looks cool, but it looks so much better later. And yeah, Lennox, he just wants a light, because what ends up happening pretty much is that Hera shows up when it's like, you fucking assholes, you think that you're the ones who are gonna end up, you know, deciding the fate of gods and who rules when and how and whatnot. Basically, it was a plan to get Hera there away from her looking pool. And you have Lennox grabs a candle off of Hades. Hermes tosses the key to Wonder Woman. You know, Lennox gives the candle to Wonder Woman as well. And she goes off to Olympus and fucking throws it into that looking pool, which now is ruined. So Hera cannot look. And that's the thing.
I wish it was a little better explained, because we do have this looking pool that allows Hera to see everything that's going on that she wants to, so she could be the ultimate spy and whatnot. Just the idea of throwing Hades' fucking candle, like part of his candle head, into her fucking pool. Can't you just go in there and fish that out and have it okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I think exactly that just breaks it. Yeah, I just think it breaks it. I would say maybe this is something that's based on a myth, but the thing to me is, like, that is part of the underworld, part of death, and maybe goes
to
far
as a little bit better explained.
Like, once there's death, there's nothing else, so you can't see things. But yeah, it's there. I love the art, though, where it's there, and Diana's just there with Hermes' staff, and Hera is pissed. And you arrogant, you know, seems like she's going to call her a bitch, and basically says, I'm going to destroy you, and starts going over him. Wonder Woman just says, your actions already have, goddess, and I will spend my days making you regret them. So she pretty much, you know, throws shade and throws the gauntlet down, like, war is on, bitch, and then disappears.
With this plan, too, where, you know, like, you know, Lennox tosses Wonder Woman the candle, and then Hermes tosses her his staff, so she can move, like, to Olympus. But, like, was it, like, why is it the staff now? Because in the beginning of the series, it was a key that had the freaking, you know, the snakes wrapped around it. So it was the whole, like, you know, Hermes fucking symbol. But,
well, it's, you know, Hermes gets around
the staff, though. I'm like, what happened to the key? And was the key I just think that maybe Wonder Woman's place? I don't know.
I think that's just more symbolism, and that's his, because remember, he ends up handing her that and gets the staff, and I just think that that's just, it's the main thing, where maybe if you want to go with it, I would think that that's the reason why, is because that little key, you can't get to Olympus with that. I think that you have to have a possession of the gods.
Okay, I'm saying, I don't know.
That would
I'm
be my
it.
Deal.
We saw this happen, though, with the key early on. Now it's a staff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
I think that the staff is the only way that you could get to Olympus as a not full out god. That's my guess, because
I'll go with it. I just wish it would have been a little bit more explained for the continuity of events that we've had so far.
Yeah, but again, that key just kind of, you went around, and also, I don't know, it seemed like that key never really ended up, like, there were set places that you were going. This had to be somewhere where you were, you know, actually teleporting yourself to a specific, I don't know. Because when Zola grabbed the key, she didn't know anything about it. She touched it and ended up in Wonder Woman's apartment.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's something, that might be something a little different. But yeah, while this is going on, Wonder Woman comes back, and that's when Poseidon's just like, we've been fucked. Like, Hades, we were played as fools here. You know, this is bullshit. And he starts going around. It's funny, too, because I love the line then when you have Poseidon tells Hades to lighten up, and Hades is like, I can't. I can't lighten up. That's just what I am, and starts going back into that sewer. But yeah, as Poseidon says, you know, we've been played as fools, and, you know, you're going to fit into our family fine, because, you know what? Everybody's crazy. Everybody's against
each other.
And they're just there, and it's like one of those moments where you're thinking, it's like, huh, you know, it's the end of an arc. Obviously, it's the end of the trade, the six issues, and like, ah, this is so cool. You know, we won the day. Let's regroup. Well, in the meantime, you see this person behind in
the
sewer.
That you find out is like the entrance to freaking Hades.
Yeah, and you have no idea who that is at that point. You're like, huh, who the fuck is that? But Zola sees him, walks off. Now, it is her mother. But she even says earlier, not like she loves her mother. She, you know, her mother ended up dying. She really doesn't care for either of her parents. But again, you see a mother that you think is dead. Yeah. You start walking over and you see now Hades has a trap. And this is the trap.
And it's grabs such a weird thing because when you're just left, you know, Hades is walking away kind of dejected. But the whole idea where he only walks like 5 feet and 10, I was like, well, fuck this. Turns around and has this whole trap set up. Like, I'm going to get my revenge now.
Yeah. And it's such funny a weird too. Thing
because it seemed like we were just about to part ways with the guy. It's like, okay, off to the next round. But like,
that's what I'm saying. It seems like that's it. And then maybe the next arc, we're going to have Wonder Woman just going around with the Justice League or whatever. No. And the best part of this is, to me, it's basically like, you know what, Wonder Woman? We have a bargain. You think that you played us. No, you're going to fulfill it. And if you don't, Zeus's bloodline ends with you. Now, in the meantime, I don't think at all, because he takes Zola down to Hades, down to hell. And yeah. I don't think that he quite realizes what fully is going on yet with basically Zola being pregnant with Zeus. And that's how it ends, with basically Wonder Woman just standing there, and the one person she's supposed to protect through this whole thing is gone now in hell because of her fucking around.
The whole thing is, you see Poseidon, this gigantic toad fucking monster, your eyes are going to be on him. So when Zola walks away, I can kind of understand. You're not taking your eyes off this giant toad monster. You don't see this shit every day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, it is crazy. Like you said, you see this thing, and it's such a huge, big thing that you're like, huh?
And the thing is,
and
too, I forgot, too, that was the design of Poseidon for this, because, you know, I didn't read this, but you told me about it. So later on, when we get to the DCYOU and Aquaman, and he becomes this freaking, he becomes an enemy of Atlantis and shit like that. They're all after him. Aquaman ends up going to Poseidon and freaking get some more power and has Poseidon's staff and shit like that, so he could fight against this Thule uprising, this other world that was trying to take over. I'm like, when I saw him then, I'm like, holy fuck, that's right, that is Poseidon.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And again,
I like the fact they kept that look.
And like I said, in this first arc, I mean, you are just still, after these six issues, you're still kind of trying to get a grip of what's going on. And I said, it's such a crazy cliffhanger that I became attached to Zola, and she's one tough cookie. Eric, and when she gets taken away, this just, it's such a cool thing where Wonder Woman, she lied. She lied to the gods, where you have this whole thing, like, we want to go with the truth and the lies. All the lies that are being told to everyone here are supposed to be something that is going to keep somebody safe, or supposed to, you know, win the day. They always keep coming back and making it worse at the end. So this whole truth and lies was in this whole story, and I really, really like it because of that. And
I'm
telling you,
this is a hell of a cliffhanger, because, you know, going in, like, you know, here's the first trade. I need to get that second trade now, because Wonder Woman going to hell, I'm like, that sounds fucking badass.
Yeah, it's so cool. And even just like how you've seen these character designs, and it, to me, where people went nuts and like, oh, those aren't my gods or whatever. I wanted to, like, who? I wonder how this person's going to look, and I wonder how that person's going to look. Like, when Artemis shows up, I want to see what she looks like. Oh,
and
I want to see
I'm
this
telling
and
you,
that.
We get to the rebirth era of Wonder Woman now, where we had all these great designs of the gods. They were all very distinct and had their own character.
Yeah.
And we jump in. Now they're just animals. Like, that's kind of disappointing.
And I'm telling you, that's the problem. This, and you're always going to read this and compare it a bit to what Rucka did.
Yeah.
And this just seemed, number one, seems bigger. You know what I mean? I mean, it seems huge because of the gods. But I will tell you that Greg Rucka's run is more about Wonder Woman than this is. This more. But the problem is where Rucka wanted you to go with the, hey, we're going to play around with the origin and do this. I think that Azzarello dealt more with that than Greg Rucka did. Greg Rucka, though, made Wonder Woman a caring, you know, person and all that. And really did
all about the love.
Yeah, really did more about Wonder Woman and her love and her compassion for the world. But I'm telling you, as the six issues, compared to the six issues of the Rucka run, I'm telling you, I was fired up. Like you said, it's such a quick read, too, because some of the pages have three big panels, and it's a lot of action. But boy, Cliff Chang, especially when he's on it, the art is is so good. And it just, by the time you get to the third issue, it just feels so right. Everything you see with him doing it, and you want
to
see these new designs.
And everything has that stylized color to that first four issues, but then when we get on to the next artist, so like it just becomes kind of standard in my mind.
Yeah, it becomes pretty standard.
The pencils, the colors, they all work to make it so freaking, like, you know, its own thing.
No, and I even said when I ended up reviewing it later on, it actually reminded me a lot of times of like a Greek fresco, like the painting, the wall paintings and things. And it fits so well into the whole concept of the gods and the ancient bits of that and stuff like that. I thought it was great. And like I said, I think that the character designs, you could have Hades show up and just look like a dude, but having him show up with the candles dripping over, his eyes are covered with the candles.
Candles for a so goddamn fucking top of his head. Good. Like, that's badass.
So awesome. And Apollo, just kinda Apollo
looks like a fucked up Cenobite from Hellraiser.
And Apollo being the sun god, just he ends up looking like almost like burnt, like he's like obsidian or something.
Well,
it's just
like, you know,
so
like,
good.
During the nighttime when we see him for the most part, like, you know, he is onyx because the sun is not up. Like, he is just black skin. Like,
and his
the
eyes
night. And when
are
the sun
burning.
Rises, he erupts in the flame.
Yeah,
like,
it's
that is
so good.
Cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool. I love it. So, yeah, if you guys haven't read it, I cannot say more about it to have you. I went and bought this trade when we first decided to do this new 52 review. I went and bought a bunch of the ones coming up, and I bought this one. I just sat there looking at it. Now, I still ended up reading it the digital copy that I have, but the trade, just to look through it and page through it, and even at the end of the trade it has the character designs and things like that. So cool to look at. But what would you give the first six issues, Aaron?
I'm telling you, I was going anywhere between a 7.5 just for the fact that I could see people being turned off of this, just because you go into a Wonder Woman book and she seems to be a side character in her own book for everything that's going down. But after talking about it, I think I can go up to an 8 here because it looks so good. And I'm telling you, you get wrapped up in this mythology kind of story because you're like, even the Wonder Woman might be a side character, if you want to call it that, in her own book, you care about each of these things. You want to know more about the gods and how it's going to affect Wonder Woman. Plus, this is my favorite origin of Wonder Woman. They came out and said that she
is
the daughter
too.
Of Zeus.
It
is
makes
my favorite
so much
thing.
Sense.
It makes everything make sense, and we can get away from all the convoluted mess because her origin, like Hawkman's, throughout like the old continuity, was the biggest mess. And here they came out and said, this is what it is. Yes, we had the clay. That was a lie. And it makes sense so because we wanted to keep her safe from Hera. This whole freaking like play with the gods is so much fun. And I'm actually kind of pissed off that we can't go into volume two right away.
I love it. I'm giving it an 8.8. The only reason I'm not going to give it a 9 is just because you're kind of thrown in there. But at the end, and have read all of it and reviewed at least half of Azzarello's run, I like the idea because as I'm reading this, I see the stuff that he's setting up. And he does. He's not one of those guys that leaves most of the things on the table. Things all make sense. Everything's going to make sense. And basically, like you said, one of the main things that I could say detracts from the score is that it's not just about Wonder Woman. It's about all the gods as well. But that's one of the reasons I love that. I love mythology and things like that.
It makes it its own unique title.
And like you said, you want to go and tie it in. Anybody who likes American Gods can jump right in here and you'll really enjoy it because the gods are these humanized versions of them, but they have all of their classic, you know, freaking not tropes, but desires and freaking, you know, things going on that I just love.
The gods might not be exactly how you pictured them when you think about it personally, but the characters themselves are
They're so right on. And I do love it. And again, people who are full out mythology buffs are probably like, no, they're not, Jim, you fucking asshole. This is nothing like them. But I like it in this set. You know what I mean?
This
is the setting of it, yeah. But that's the end of the podcast. Eric, I do want to mention the next episode is Detective Comics, right?
Yes, it is.
Detective Comics Volume 1, which is actually a 7-issue one. It's a big one.
And it is fucking dense.
Yeah, it is. And this is where, just to get people excited or whatever, this is the new 52 origin of the Joker having his face removed. So you'll have
set everything up for the freaking Death of the Family and the Batman. Actually, all the Bat books go besides
Dark Knight
Batman. Yep. Like every other Bat book seemed to be a part of that, and it was fucking gigantic when it came out, and I was all on board. Like right before that is when I got into the new 52.
Yeah.
And that was a book I had to get all these goddamn titles, and I kept reading and getting back issues after that because of how big the Death of the Family felt, and it all starts with Detective Comics number 1.
Yeah, and it's Tony Daniel who's doing, I believe, the writing and the art, correct? I know he wrote it. Did he do the art as well?
I believe he did. I think Tony Daniel was the writer. I don't know if he was the artist off the top of my head.
He is written and drawn by Tony S. Daniel. Do you know what the S stands for? It's actually on here. I actually just pulled up the first one. Salvador. Actually never knew that what the S was, but it is written and drawn by Tony Salvador Daniel. When he writes, he gets fancy. Eric, he's fan, but and it looks great. I'm excited to do that. Like I said, it is pretty dense. But I mentioned that as well because when this episode hits and everybody's listening to it, you can go over to our Patreon account. We do have a Patreon account that we, you know, ask people to support us if they wish. And you can get the Detective Comics 2 weeks ahead of time because that's one of the Patreon benefits of going on there is that you get the new 52 review early access 2 weeks. Early access. So if that interests you and you want to go on. Now, if we were smart, Eric, we would have had volume 2 of Wonder Woman right away, and then people are like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're going to do this.
But we're not.
We're going in an order. And yeah, next is Detective Comics. But thank you guys for listening. And Eric, what do we say at the end?
Oh, man, why can't I come up with something better? We say
no, we like
that was
it.
The new 52, and now we're through.
Now we're through.